Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Impressively, first couple days. Been good, but heavily used. Ripped to left field, towards the wall. It is gone! It had just enough! Jeremy Peña clears the wall, and the Astros strike first.
Jeremy Peña hit a home run Saturday.
In a 2-1 win for the Houston Astros, the rubber game of a three-game series against the New York Mets to open the year, they took 2 of 3. The pitching, specifically the starting pitching, was fantastic. Framber Valdez, 7 innings, looking great on Thursday. Friday, Hunter Brown, at the very least a quality start, but a quality start where he was approaching 100 miles per hour. I guess per some, if you were watching on MLB.com, there was a pitch where perhaps Hunter Brown hit 100 miles per hour. We do know he at the very least hit 99.6 on one pitch to Pete Alonso, hit 99.2 on another to Juan Soto, who did take him yard. But Hunter Brown, I thought, looked really good. I believe he will be the Astros' ace by the end of the year. And then Spencer Elegetti on Saturday threw 6 innings and he only allowed 1 hit. And the 1 run that the Mets got was because Jose Siri, Astros legend, was a crazy person on the base paths. He drew a walk, stole second, tagged up to third, and then scored on a play where Spencer Arrighetti was a little bit too casual throwing the ball over to first base. But Arrighetti as a pitcher looked really good. So the pitching for the Astros to open up the year, we like it, though perhaps Brian Abreu, Josh Hader made things a little bit too stressful on opening day. The rest of the bullpen, though, actually pretty impressive to open things up. But the offense is something that we had questions about. The reason that the Astros are starting a rookie in right field is because they don't like their outfielders. Cam Smith has never played in right field until these last couple of games. Has he been an issue out there? No. And also, I've actually liked his approach at the plate. He's been patient. He's been drawing walks. He hasn't been swinging at everything like a lot of Astros did last year. But you have Altuve in left field because, again, questions about your lineup. And while they added Isak Paredes and they added Christian Walker, I think that the Astros' offense, after losing Alex Bregman and losing Kyle Tucker, fairly is the biggest question that we have about this team this coming year. And they're throwing some stuff at the wall. And the results from this series might have you a little bit nervous about this offense. It is early. It's a 3-game sample size. But they have just scored 6 runs to this point. If you take a look at where they rank statistically in most major offensive categories, they are towards the bottom. They are 27th. In OPS, they are 26th in batting average, hitting 176. 13 of their 15 hits have been singles. You got the Jeremy Peña home run. You have a Yordan Alvarez double, both of which were on Saturday. But going into Saturday, did you know that the Astros, for the first time, I guess, in the history of their franchise, had not had an extra base hit in the first 2 games of the year? They were the only team in baseball entering Saturday without an extra base hit. And remember, on Saturday, they had a bases-loaded situation with 1 out against a guy who hadn't pitched in 3 years. The Mets' own Lance McCullers, with Yordan Alvarez at the plate and Christian Walker at the plate, and they got nothing. Alvarez popped out. Mets third baseman made a nice play, reaching over the dugout, made a catch. Christian Walker lined out. He hit it hard again, but he lined out to second. People are making Jose Abreu comparisons with Christian Walker. That is unfair. That is unfair at this moment in time. Walker, who maybe not be getting hits, Sean, he has hit 7 of the 10 balls he's hit this year at a 100-mile-per-hour exit velocity.
Congrats. No hits. Give me some hits.
I do want some hits.
Yeah, exit velocity doesn't score runs, Paul.
It doesn't score runs.
I am not concerned about Christian Walker, but I do love needling the real baseball heads with the, well, he's hitting the ball. Well, meh, who cares?
Yeah, that is kind of funny to do than the nerds. I agree. I agree with that.
I mean, it's ridiculous to be like, this guy's Jose Abreu 2.0 after 3 games, no matter how he's playing. Like, even if he got up there and swung and missed on every single pitch, like, that it would still be too early. But the fact he's, like, hitting the ball well. Like, he is hitting the ball well. He's just not getting on base. It's just fun just to be, you know, hey, listen, it's March 31st. Give me something to have fun with.
We've been hurt, though. I mean, it's fun to a degree, but we have been hurt at that first base position.
I believe in Christian Walker. I believe in this offense. I'm not that worried about this offense.
I actually do, too. One last depressing statistic to this point. 1-for-17 with runners in scoring position. 20 men left on base. 23 strikeouts to open the year.
Okay,
right?
I don't love that.
I mean, look. This was a bad opening series for the offense. There's no denying it, and it's the biggest question for the team this year. That said, I actually, like you, Sean, feel pretty good about this.
Yeah.
I'm choosing to trust the process, and the process for the Astros, they said going into the year, is we're going to be a lot more patient at the plate. And everyone outside of Jose Altuve is struggling. Altuve's hitting nearly .500 to open things up, so you love seeing that. But the process is, hey, let's force teams to throw the ball more to us. And get this. 12 plate appearances for Isak Paredes, 65 pitches. I mean,
so that's wow.
Really good. That's really good. And wow. Okay, you know, only
over five,
only one hit to show, but this is what you want in the two spot. You want somebody who is going to draw long counts and potentially get on base, which will help Yordan Alvarez out because then guys aren't going to be able to throw around him. Mauricio Dubon said this about Paredes' performance over the weekend. He saw more pitches than I did in half of last season. Me and Pena were talking about it. He makes the pitcher work, and it helps us a lot. That's who he is. 9 walks in 2 games. Joe Espada said after the first 2, like, how many times did this happen last year? They had the 4th fewest walks in baseball last season. They are drawing walks. There are encouraging signs, even if the hits aren't coming. And while I feel weird saying, hey, let's trust the Dana Brown process and let's trust the Joe Espada process, the fact that these guys have said we're going to be more patient at the plate and we've seen them be more patient at the plate to open up the year actually has me feeling good about an offense that, yeah, hasn't produced. You take a look at those Mets starters that they threw at the Astros over the weekend, all of them mediocre guys over the course of their career in terms of just looking at their numbers. So you would be thinking, okay, this Astros offense should get more. But for those who are perhaps overreacting after 3 games about the offense not doing all the things that you need to see them do, I would encourage you to relax. I think there have been some good signs from these first 3 games.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, like you mentioned with Christian Walker, like hitting the ball well, but he has a .083 average right now. Like, I don't think that he's what that's 1-for-12. Like,
yeah,
I believe in Christian Walker is going to be better. I believe that Alvarez is going to hit better than he's hit so far. I think that Yiner Diaz is going to hit. Like,
I agree.
All the guys that are struggling are guys that I'm not worried about really in the least.
1-for-17 with runners in scoring position is an anomaly. That's so bad. It's impossibly bad.
That is, there's a little bit of PTSD though. There's a little bit of PTSD with that because that's something that they've been bad year over – or not year over year, but when things get bad, you can look at that number for the Astros a lot during last season and even in 2023.
Right. The Lobstros.
Yes. I would like that to get better. But for the most part, I'm still diamond hands on this offense.
Yeah, exactly. Diamond hands is a good term. Should you be encouraged by what you've seen to this point? I don't know, but – they have said that this was their plan this year. We're going to be more patient at the plate, and we have seen that to this point. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. On YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. By the way, this was a fun little tidbit that I read from Chandler Rome's first piece of the season. He was talking about how the Astros clubhouse has a new dynamic where it's more energetic and fun or something like that. So the two Astros players with no service time, Cam Smith and Ryan Gusto, were tasked with bringing in donuts, which is a Astros pregame tradition.
Okay.
It has been for the entirety of this dynasty.
I saw the picture of Cam Smith carrying in Shipley.
Cam Smith got Shipley's. Good job. He already knows the assignment, if you will.
Yep.
Ryan Gusto brought in Krispy Kreme. And per Chandler Rome's piece, had Ryan Presley been here for this, this perhaps would have created an issue. I can understand that. Krispy Kreme sucks.
Yeah.
And I mean, Shipley's, I think Shipley's is a little overrated. Don't get me wrong. I like more variants with my donut flavors. I really like cake donuts, but to each their own. Still, you got to bring in Shipley's, big dog.
Yeah.
Come on, Ryan.
And, like, I just looked up Krispy Kreme because I do not think there's one in Houston. The two closest ones are in Pearland and Humble. Like, so these were not hot and ready. Or they were not hot, you know, the light wasn't on.
That's how far the nearest one is. Did he drive out to Humble to get Krispy Kreme?
I think he maybe he lives in Pearland. Or he lives in Sugarland.
Could be that, but I mean, God.
Has an apartment in Sugarland.
I don't know, man.
A space cowboy.
Well, okay, you know what? That's actually
I think that's most likely, but yeah, Krispy Kreme's a weird.
Like, even Dunkin' Donuts is closer in Houston, you know? Like, there's only a couple in Houston, but like, you can get a Dunkin' Donuts.
There's a Voodoo Donut, like, that's 20 minutes from the.
Voodoo Donuts is the move.
I was going to ask, what's your feeling on Voodoo?
Voodoo Donuts is good. I mean, it's a Pacific Northwest thing. Here's the thing about the Pacific Northwest, a lot of questions, marks, you know? A lot of issues. A
lot of holes in their game.
Their donuts are great. Mm-hmm. So a lot of holes in their game, but the holes in those donuts. Hell yeah, bro.
Coffee and donuts. Check, check.
That's what Seattle does.
They have breakfast that's kind of bad for you on lock.
Yeah, they do. That's all they got. And a little fentanyl if you need that. I would say.
Whatever. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever. Whenever you need your Fent, they got it.
Donuts and Fenty for breakfast. Who says no?
Give me a Fenty.
It's the new size.
Give me two grandes and a Fenty.
Yeah. Sean Mays by the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. One of the biggest issues for the Houston Texans last year, fake news per one of the most important Houston Texans. You'll hear that on the other side.
The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston, 713-780-3776 is how you call and it's how you text in. Astros took 2 of 3 over the weekend against the New York Mets. They play the San Francisco Giants the next 3 games. No Alex Bregman, no Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker did homer with Chicago this weekend. Also, Alex Bregman's in Boston. You see how bad Rafael Devers has been? 0-for-16 with 12 strikeouts in 4 games.
Talking about on SportsCenter right now, they have Jeff Passan on to play Worried or Not Worried. Great title for it. And he decided that he is worried about Rafael Devers. 0-for-16 starts with 12 strikeouts. The 12 strikeouts is the worst part.
That's a lot.
Not even Christian Walker, like, hey, he's hitting it well. It's just bad luck. Like, I don't know what's going on with this dude.
Doesn't even have to focus on fielding anymore. Because Alex Bregman took his job. Bregman, by the way, 4 hits. He's hitting .235 to open up. And the Boston Globe wrote an article. Red Alex hot. Bregman's Spanish language skills helping him break barriers with his new Red Sox teammates.
It's funny that there's going to be all these stories that we already know about Alex Bregman. Like the fact that he basically learned Spanish just to like talk to everyone in the clubhouse. But now like he's on a different team. There's going to be a, hey, this guy, th- this guy from LSU knows how to speak Spanish.
Whoa, that's crazy. Honestly,
and he's uniting the clubhouse.
He is uniting the Red Sox clubhouse. It is, I think, very racist of Bostonians to assume a white man can't speak Spanish, but that is on brand for my people, as many people would argue. It would also have been nice if the Red Sox could actually, you know, beat the Rangers, who won 3 of 4 over the weekend against Boston, and Jacob DeGrom looked pretty good yesterday. So there you go. DeGrom is back. We'll see how long that lasts for the Rangers, but okay. Rangers 3-1, Astros 2-1. Tab, where you been, bro? Tab, the Rangers fan. We miss you.
Yeah, we're sending out the Tab signal. Didn't get him much last year.
No, I hope he's still alive. That truly is my biggest fear, is that our friend Tab, the Rangers fan, is no longer kicking. Yeah. If he's not, our thoughts are with his family. Okay?
And at least he saw the Rangers win the World Series.
He did. He did. But we hope
go
that
out
Tab,
on top. I hope it didn't happen.
We do.
But
we just
going out on top is not the worst way to go.
Definitely not. The Houston Texans were on the bottom at the end of last year. Hell yeah. What a transition. Because their offensive line was crap. It was awful. 8 sacks allowed against the Chiefs in that divisional playoff loss. 8 sacks? Good googly moogly. I don't care how long C.J. Stroud might have been holding it. That was a reflection of an offensive line that had bad coaching from Chris Strausser, had an offensive coordinator in Bobby Slowick who was sus at best, with a lot of players in the offensive side of things questioning him at times during last season, even though he stuck around for the entirety of the year. And an offensive line that featured a lot of early round draft pick investments struggling. With Laremy Tunsil, the best offensive lineman of all of them, and now he is gone. He has been traded to the Washington Commanders. So, with Tunsil not having a good year but being the Texans' best offensive lineman, with Kenyon Green, a former first-round pick, being a bust, he's now in Philadelphia, with Juice Scruggs not looking like a second-round pick to this point, with Shaq Mason being awful to the point where the Texans just cut him this offseason, and at right tackle, Titus Howard, who agreed to a contract restructure, we don't know what he is, but he's definitely not a right tackle anymore. This offensive line stunk. And then we saw that article that came out about how the Texans had a toxic offensive line room per Albert Breer. We discussed it. I do think it stands to reason that Breer was hearing this from people closer to the situation. Did not see Breer very often in the Houston Texans locker room after games. I do have a hunch as to who Breer heard this from. I don't necessarily disagree with the Texans' offensive line room not being where it needed to be last year. I don't disagree with that. Toxic is a strong way to describe it. I think that the toxicity might have been more about the coaching dynamics, the disagreements between offensive coordinator Bobby Slowick and now offensive line coach, assistant offensive line coach last year, Cole Popovich, who also might have not seen eye to eye with Chris Strausser, who may have had one leg out the door thinking about retirement last season. Like, I think that might have lent itself to the Texans' locker room being reported as toxic. But here's what D'Amico Ryans had to say at the NFL league meetings when asked by Aaron Wilson of Channel 2 about that offensive line room being toxic.
I think our guys in that room, they competed. They battled. It didn't always go how we wanted it to go, but there was nothing toxic in the room. Those guys showed up to work every day. Those guys were a tight group. They went out to dinners throughout the week. So those, I don't know where their report came from, but it's very incorrect. That's nothing in our building. That's nothing I stand for. You know, as the head coach of the team, we bring in the right people. We bring in good guys, and all those guys are great guys.
I don't know where that report came from, but it's very incorrect, in case you couldn't hear the audio. A lot of wind in the background on this golf course. Very incorrect. It is totally possible that what Breer wrote and what he heard would make one say, this locker room, this offensive line group doesn't have it. And that in the eyes of some, especially if you're talking about, hey, what's holding this potential Super Bowl contender back? When a locker room, and specifically the offensive line side of things, seems dead after a victory, or when they are perplexed and taken aback by the amount of backlash they got after they came against the Vikings, I can understand how on the outside looking in, you can say, well, this group is a problem. And take a jump from problem to toxic. It's not that far. I mean, if something's toxic, it's the part of a team that's bringing it down, right? So the actual reporting there and that word, it's one of those buzzwords that certainly gets a lot of attention. But I don't buy D'Amico's pushback. I don't. It was an issue last year. They weren't playing well. And I didn't really feel like they had the care to fix problems as quickly as they needed to. I think that they really bought into their press clippings going into the year. Laremy Tunsil's one of those guys who is constantly thinking about where he ranks among tackles, and clearly he had earned a lot of respect in that Texans offensive line room. If this guy is kind of about himself, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, he's focused on himself and he constantly plays well. If that guy's focused on himself and the rest of the locker room perhaps isn't being focused on by the vet, what happens? When you got an offensive line coach who has retired and may have had one foot out all season long last year, what happens? Well, you got an offensive coordinator that doesn't seem to know what he's doing. And then you got an offensive line group that's trying to follow what he's preaching and is having a difficult time doing it. What happens? All of that stuff can lend to being toxic compared to the rest of the Houston Texans. So D'Amico Ryans, who said the characterization of the Texans' offensive line room was toxic, is, quote, very incorrect, end quote. I don't know that I buy that. Even if D'Amico Ryans is specifically talking about the players here, and I do think that the idea of a toxic locker room was more about the coaches than it was about the players. What was the unit on this team that struggled? It was the offensive line. There's a lot of turnover this offseason. So D'Amico is clearly aware of that, as is Nick Caserio. You can call a group that is the worst part of a team toxic, yeah, even if it's not a bunch of bitchy, mean girls from, the movie Mean Girls, the plastics, if you will,
yeah,
that are being a bunch of a-holes to the rest of the team. Like, it doesn't have to be that to actually be toxic to the rest of the team. I know we're now debating the idea of the word toxic, but D'Amico pushing back on this, I'm sorry, I just don't buy it.
Yeah, I mean, that is the thing, is that I think it's the word that Breer chose that has given these guys the wiggle room to push back. I'm like,
yeah,
no, these guys all got along. It's like, yeah, that's not what we're saying. Like, we're saying the working relationship was toxic. And the coaching dynamic was toxic. And, yeah, like you said, toxic has this, like, connotation now to where it's like, a relationship, like people think about a toxic relationship where it's like real bad stuff is, yeah, going on, where it's like, no, this just isn't working, and it's like dragging the team down, as evidenced A, by anyone with eyeballs that watched this team last year, and B, by this team who went out and traded away its best left tackle, its best offensive lineman,
yep,
and changed over two guard spots. Like, this team has changed 60% of the starting offensive line from last year, and they're sitting here telling us, like, we loved our group last year. What? We don't bring in bad players. Like, no, you guys do bring in bad players. You did at least one, at least two, from if we're judging off last year's, the two guys starting at guard.
Toxic might be a trigger word if you're D'Amico and you hear it, to what you're saying there, Sean. But, okay, do you need to push back on it when clearly changes were made this offseason? Can't you just say last year was last year? We're on to this,
yeah,
year.
We're disappointed in the performance last year, toxic or not.
Because this is the same gaslighty bullshit. Pardon my language. This is the same gaslighty crap that they were pushing last year. They did this a lot last year. It was so infuriating. Like, telling us about, hey, the offensive line, we like the direction it's going in. This is consistent with that. And, hey, look, This is a bandwagon-y sports town. If you want to get some of the people to buy back in, please just be honest with us.
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
Yeah, we're not asking for a Boston Globe style shank job on the way
yeah.
out. Like, we're not asking for the Nico Harrison and Mavs ownership group, like, trying to explain themselves for 2 weeks about why they traded Luka Doncic. Like, we're not asking you to pull out a shiv on Laremy Tunsil or even Chris Strasser or, like, anyone. But just be honest with, like,
yeah.
this was a disappointing group. Like,
yes.
Guys, this was a disappointing group. I don't know about toxic. To me, I didn't think it was toxic, whatever. But there's a reason that we're changing over at least three starters from last
sure.
year's team.
I really think D'Amico, when he hears toxic, he immediately says, I got to push back on this.
Yeah.
But, you know, you think about the general meaning of that word. It doesn't necessarily mean everyone's a bunch of bad guys.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's what D'Amico heard. When
yeah.
He
you think about
word.
Like a team that like absolutely is like falling apart at the seams in the locker room.
Yeah.
Like a team that's just splintering like crazy. It's like, no, that's not what we're saying.
No. Sean Mace behind the glass on Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Up next, the 10-minute drill. Oh, my goodness. I love these precious losers. They make me happy because they consistently just say the darndest things. And it gets me going. It gets me nice and riled up, like a Cougs advancing to the Final Four or the Astros taking 2 of 3 over the weekend. Those two conversations on the table as well on the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. We did actually have some very minor Houston Texans news. They signed linebacker E.J. Speed away from the Indianapolis Colts. Speed's been on that podcast with Zaire Franklin occasionally talking trash to C.J. Stroud. He's part of that back and forth between the Colts and Texans, but now he's a Texan. Devin White also, who the Texans signed last year in the middle of the season, former Buccaneers linebacker who was so good with Tampa Bay when they won the Super Bowl, but kind of quit on them a couple of years before. I said when they signed him, they didn't need to sign him. Well, the Texans did not bring him back. He just signed with the Las Vegas Raiders. So that's the latest Texans news as far as guys that they add in. One linebacker in, another linebacker out. I love the Jets. The Jets just make me laugh. It doesn't matter who their head coach is, who their quarterback is. There's just always the idea that as an organization, they are completely hosed from the start. How do I feel this will continue with Aaron Glenn now running the show, a guy who I like, who I've met, who I think is actually going to be the best possible hire for the Jets? It's because this is what the Jets are trying to tell us going into the year in a position where it's going to be hard for them to draft that next quarterback. They want you to know that Justin Fields is the future. First, here's Aaron Glenn.
Coach, you got yourself a quarterback. What was it like, and what was the process getting Justin Fields?
Listen, I've played against Justin quite a bit, just him being at the Bears and me being in Detroit, and he created some damage for us, you know. So I want to make sure that I could take advantage of what he does, what he can do as far as utilizing his legs. But I also want to allow him to play quarterback also. I don't know in his career he's ever had a chance to truly go out there and play quarterback. So we're going to give him that opportunity, understanding who he is as a player, try to utilize his skill set, but also let him do what he did at Ohio State, you know, and let him go play quarterback.
Okay, I like Aaron Glenn. A lot of issues with that comment. First off, he's played quarterback. The problem is when he tries to play quarterback, he turns into a running back. This is a run-first guy. He's at his best when he runs, too, and it's fun. You see a couple of fun highlights, and everybody online who pumps the tires of Justin Fields for reasons I can't quite understand, they'll say, oh, yeah, look at what he brings to the table. But he literally played quarterback for the Chicago Bears, Aaron Glenn. Please do not try to tell me that he has not played quarterback at the NFL level. He literally has. They want him to throw it more, and he runs more.
There's a little bit of Chris Polk. Itis here
for sure
because Bill O'Brien, Chris Polkitis, because I just pulled it up because he brought up the fact that when he was defensive coordinator for the for the Lions. That he played the Bears twice a year. This is 2022. On November 13th, Justin Fields went 12 for 20 for 167 yards, two touchdowns and an interception, and 13 rushes for 147 yards and two touchdowns.
But we wanted to play quarterback.
And then the last game of the season, he threw for 75 yards, but 10 rushes, 132 rushing yards. So
against the Lions, he runs for 150 yards
yes,
a game.
He destroyed the Lions.
That's funny.
As a rusher. Let's see. His rookie year, he only played him once. Didn't play that well. But, yeah. He has another 100-yard rushing game in 2023 against the Lions.
That's funny. So he just runs for over 100
yeah.
yards against the Lions.
And then on the second time they played in 2023 in December, he was 19 for 33 with 223 yards, a touchdown, only 58 rushing yards with a touchdown. So
okay.
he plays pretty well against the Lions.
Specifically the Lions.
I do think that this is a little bit of...
Chris Polkaitis, as you
yes,
said.
Where Bill O'Brien, when he was the GM, a lot of times he would take guys who played well in one game against the Texans, and in his GM brain was like, Chris Polk is awesome.
Yes. Hard Knocks.
He had like 100-something yards against...
with the Eagles against the yeah. Texans in 2014. Yes, Hard Knocks Texans showed that. And it was for Mr. Bang Bang Chicken and Shrimp, Chris Polk. So perhaps Aaron Glenn, there's a little bit of that with Glenn, the reporter asking the question, oh, you guys got yourself a quarterback. He says, yeah, I'm really excited because of how well he played against us. But we're going to finally let him play quarterback. That's not what Justin Fields does well. Anyway, here is what Jets GM Darren Mooge said about Fields.
You see, Justin Fields is, I mean, it's only a two-year contract, obviously, but is kind of the intrigue there, just what the long, maybe there's some untapped ability there that people haven't seen yet?
I do. I do believe that. And we believe Justin is the starter. We believe in Justin. We believe we can win with Justin. So we're excited about Justin.
Can't the Jets just say, we don't have one of the top two picks, and we can't get Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, instead of this dog and pony show? I mean, this is just vintage Jets selling their dumbass fans a bill of goods that's not going to come true. And some of these just completely psychotic crack addicts, which is what a Jets fan ultimately is. I mean, it's a bad product, and you're loyal to it? Okay. Selling Justin Fields on your fan base to open up a new era with a new head coach and a new GM is exactly the wrong way to start things.
Yeah, I think if they were more like measured with it, I would be like okay with this. Like they're talking about him like they have some no doubt about it, great starter or even like a good starter.
Yeah,
where like Justin Fields just hasn't shown that yet. I think if they said like, hey, we're really intrigued with them, we didn't feel like his previous teams were using him to how we're going to use him. We think that there's some upside here. Like, okay. Like, again, I don't share that view. Like, I'm pretty out on Fields as a starting quarterback in this league. But I'm not completely shutting the door on this guy, like, sucking forever. It's like, no, if he can be a stopgap quarterback until you get a, you know, the guy.
That's
you draft the guy.
Stopgap.
Yeah, just like, hey, we think there's something here with him. We trust our system. We trust how we're going to utilize them. But to be like, we got our guy. Boom. Starting quarter. Buy your jerseys, Jets fans. Like, that's too aggressive for my liking.
The Jets also had this to say about just their mission going forward. Aaron Glenn said that it's by design that there's been less leaks this offseason.
On the radar, kind of quiet. Is that, how do you like that? Is that by design? Is that the kind of way you want things to work?
It is by design. And listen, I'm a huge believer in just moving in silence and, you know, letting things play out like they need to play out. I think our staff has done a really good job of that. Just overall of, listen, let's just make the moves we need to make. Listen, this doesn't need to be a big hoopla of what we're doing. We just want to go out about our business and coach these players and try to create an atmosphere for the players that's totally different, probably what they've been used to.
Yeah, because in New York, everything always gets leaked. I appreciate Aaron Glenn drawing this. good luck.
Yeah.
With those bozos running the show with Woody Johnson and his stupid kid, Brick, and all these other dumbasses who are part of this organization. This organization loves to be in the headlines just for the sake of being in the headlines by any means necessary. They are so perfect for our cringe-fluencer generation, where people are doing things online that are cringe to get likes, to get follows. That's who the Jets are for their fan base of crack addicts who keep on coming back to this terrible reality show over and over again. I really do wish the best for Aaron Glenn because I like him. But I think this is like trying to climb up that skyscraper in Myanmar during the, you know, earthquake that you might have seen videos from this weekend. Like, it's just impossible when you've got those bozos running the show.
Yeah, I'm completely agreed with you on Aaron Glenn. Just everything I've heard, I've been like, yeah, even that clip. I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm nodding along. And it's just a situation. I'm like, I just hope for the best for him, but I kind of hate that he took the Jets job, to be honest. I get that eventually you have to make the plunge, and bad teams are going to be the ones that have openings. But, man, the Jets? Like, really? Okay.
We have a text in. This might be Justin Fields' father. And generally, most Justin Fields supporters, I don't want to be racist here, but I'm just going to say what it is. It feels like most of Justin Fields' fans want him to succeed because he's a black quarterback. And sorry to go all Rush Limbaugh back on that episode of Sunday Countdown that he got, you know, fired for. But it does feel like online the people who keep pushing the idea that Justin Fields is a good quarterback are of one persuasion. And this person texting in saying, like, there's not going to be any more pink boys at quarterback going forward. Okay, sir, you're talking about having to be a dual threat quarterback in today's NFL. Justin Fields can't throw. Like, all he can do is run. He's really good at running, but you know who's really good at running and throwing? Jalen Hurts. You know who's really good at running and throwing? Josh Allen. Patrick Mahomes. You have to do both. Fields doesn't do both. You think he's going to succeed, Justin Fields, where he couldn't succeed in effing Pittsburgh? You think he's going to succeed with the Jets? I mean, it's crazy talk. It's very strange, the Justin Fields supporters out there. I don't understand it. And this is not even about whether or not he's a good teammate or things like that. He just has a weirdly delusional level of supporters who I feel like the only reason they support him has nothing to do with what they've seen from him on the field. It's time to give it up. Give it up with Justin Fields. It ain't happening. Not in New York, at least.
Yeah.
Or Chicago.
That's
Pittsburgh.
That's the tough part. It's like, that's the whole everything with the Jets. I'm just like, I have zero confidence that it'll work out with any of these guys. And it's not really a reflection on them. It's just more of just putting on that jersey and putting on that windbreaker that Aaron Glenn's going to wear.
Right. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN975. Cougs are off to the Final Four. Astros took 2 of 3 over the weekend. You want to weigh in on those two conversations, you can. I have to go on a rant about something that ruined my sports weekend, at least for a couple of hours. What am I talking about? You'll find out on the other side, because this is a huge problem for sports. Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stay put.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You want to get in, you can at 713-780-3776 to call, to text, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Cougs are off to the Final Four. They'll play Duke Saturday in San Antonio. Not a big fan of San Antonio, but we are efforting to get the ESPN Houston money team to put a little money in my pocket and put me in a 5-star hotel in San Antonio. Okay? We're efforting to make that happen. Will we get it to happen? With enough peer pressure? With enough arm twisting? Perhaps we can. Perhaps we can. But pumped about the Cougs making it, and I do think that game against Duke is going to be their toughest test of the year, because it's going to be against Cooper Flagg. You're going to have L.J. Cryer play well. You're going to have Juwan Roberts play well. But I mean, the dismembering of Tennessee yesterday was very fun for me.
I looked up five-star hotel San Antonio just to see what our options are.
Okay.
There are.
Okay.
There are some.
That's
that
fun.
At least pop up on Google.
On the Riverwalk?
There is some on the Riverwalk, but there is another one. Hotel Emma.
Ooh. Rooftop pool?
Ooh. Let me look at some of
the amenities.
Details, but...
Cabanas on the Riverwalk?
Yes, but it looks like it is $655 a night.
Okay. Yeah, that's not that much. That's not that much. I don't know. Let's upgrade it a little bit. Let's get a suite. And,
yeah.
And I feel like I deserve it.
Because that is a one queen-size bed, it looks like.
Ooh, yeah. I need an Alaska King.
Alaska
sure.
King. Okay. I'll mess around on their website. 10 years. Oh, 10-year anniversary of Hotel Emma.
How about that? How about that? Well, it's almost the 36th anniversary of my life. So how about that? So I don't know. I feel like upper management Joe, he can make it happen, and really I need it to happen.
Are you going to ask for this because it's your birthday month?
Yeah, okay. And I don't even get to celebrate my birthday because my friends, how dare they, are having a wedding the weekend of my birthday. Unbelievable.
Selfish.
Very selfish of them. Anyway, Friday night, the Astros played the Mets on Apple TV. Allegedly. I didn't get to watch it. And I subscribed for Apple TV on Friday. I subscribed to Apple TV. And I assumed that subscribing to Apple TV meant that I'd be able to actually watch the Astros on, you know, Apple TV. Because for some reason, we have to have baseball games on Friday on Apple TV, as opposed to on the Space City Home Network, for which I am paying Fubo TV a good $140 a month. Exaggerating just a little bit on that front. It is insane how much I have to spend to the many different streaming services to get every single Astros game. Now I got to do $9.99 a month for the occasional Apple TV Friday game. So I subscribe. And I open up the app while I'm at my 24-hour fitness to put the game on while I'm on the treadmill. I was wrapping up. I wanted to watch the game on my phone. Guess what I couldn't do? That. I could watch the other game that was on Apple TV at the time. I could not watch it on my phone, and there is no reason as to why. Supposedly, as soon as you subscribe to Apple TV, you're able to watch the Astros or whatever team is playing for their Friday night special baseball games in that moment in time. There was no option for me to watch the Astros. And there's no reason online. I spent 30 minutes on the treadmill looking up as to why I couldn't watch the game. And I'm already mad. I hate my gym. I hate my 24-hour fitness. It is nice to see Sean Mapes occasionally there and some of the other fine folks from the 97.5 and 92.5 family. But while I'm at this gym, I cannot walk around without seeing tripod after tripod of all these people who want to be celebrities when it comes to fitness online. So I'm walking around all these damn tripods. Some a-hole actually came up to me and asked me if I could film him. I bewilderedly told him, no. And then I go on the treadmill and I can't even watch the effing Astros play on Apple TV because Apple TV, for whatever reason, doesn't have it available to me. What, do I need to be connected to Wi-Fi or something like that? That terrible gym won't allow me to connect to Wi-Fi because it's terrible, and I can't watch the Astros, which I paid $9.99 for to watch. Baseball, it's in great hands. This sport, it won't die, especially if you're playing random games on Friday nights on Apple TV, and when people subscribe to it, they can't even effing watch it. And I looked up the reasons, and from what I understand, even though I have Apple TV, you can only watch it on your phone, I guess, if you're connected to Wi-Fi. Which is insane, because most Wi-Fi sucks when you're out and about unless it's your home Wi-Fi. So it's Apple TV. Oh, I have an Apple phone. Oh, it should be so easy for me to watch it. Nope, you can't, because it just wasn't available. But I could watch the other game. I could watch the other game. What was it, the Braves or something like that? Could watch that one. Can't watch the local one. There's these stupid local blackout rules where you can't watch MLB TV. I have a free subscription to MLB TV. I am allowed to watch, when I'm out of this city, every single Astros game thanks to my plan with T-Mobile. But when I'm in the city, I have to get a VPN so I can actually watch the game? or I have to pay $5,000 a month for Fubo TV. I'd rather pay $5,000 on a Bregarita at Minute Maid Park, or I actually pay $9.99 and I can't watch the effing game. What is this? It's insane. And I know a lot of other people dealt with a similar problem last night. You're at a bar. You can't watch the game at a bar because no one has Apple TV Plus. And I don't blame the bars for not having Apple TV Plus. What, for Friday Night Baseball? No one wants to watch baseball. No one. They want to watch the local team. So what, 3-4 times a year, some bars got to subscribe to Apple TV Plus so they can watch the game a couple of times a year? But you go to these public establishments and they don't have the games on. You always have to ask the bartender to switch it over to the proper games. The only place that doesn't do this is McIntyre's in the Heights. It's the only place that the games are on and you don't have to actually like go to the bartender and get someone who's annoyed with you when you ask, hey, could you put the game on? But where's my Apple TV Plus if I'm actually subscribing to it and I can't get it on my phone? What is this? Baseball is a dying sport because Rob Manfred's a dumbass and the people that are in charge of actually showing the sport to us don't give a crap. ESPN, they're quitting them. Apple TV, subscribe. Oh, spin the wheel. Maybe I'll be able to watch it. Woohoo! F them with a shovel. Twist it. And rant. Sean?
The Apple TV games, luckily they're always Friday night games. For me, scheduled day off. That's a scheduled day off from the Astros for me.
Yes.
Just because I know how it goes with a weekend series. Like, we don't talk about the Friday game as much as the Saturday, Sunday ones. For me, it is just like, thank you, baseball. I'm good. I'm not paying the $9 a month, $10 a month to watch, like you said, 4 Astros games a year, maybe.
I'm just mad I spent 20 minutes trying to figure out how this works. And then eventually I was like, you know what, F it. I'm just going to watch Severance. So I watched Severance, but I wanted to watch the Astros game, and I was really frustrated about the fact that I couldn't. People are suggesting illegally streaming. Listen, you guys can do that. I feel like I'm stealing if I do it. Can't do it. Obviously, these cable companies, like, you know, they're
stealing from me.
They're stealing from me, but I'm not going to go through with it because I also feel like these websites are just going to give me all the viruses, all the Trojans, etc. But I mean, if I subscribe to something for $9.99, I should be able to watch it. And I also should have an explanation as to why I can't watch it. And the fact that I couldn't find an explanation as to why it wasn't showing up on my phone, I do not get it. Like, there was a moment where I clicked on the app, too, and it was like, do you want to upgrade your phone? Do you want to upgrade your iOS? I was like, no, I don't. I'm on the treadmill. I just want to watch the game. And I just paid $9.99 to watch this stupid game once on your stupid network.
If I get ISO whatever, 18 or whatever, does it mean I can watch this game right now? Like,
exactly.
Do I need to upgrade my phone?
That's what they made it seem like. And here's the other thing, too. By the way, there was an issue with this last year where I had Apple TV Plus and I was actually subscribing to it. And the Dynamo were playing a game, a playoff game on Apple TV Plus.
Yeah.
But it was Apple TV Plus because you have to get an extra level of Plus to watch MLS soccer, which effing blows. Oh, I get to watch the low level of soccer. I got to pay $20. Who the hell do you think you are? No one likes your sport. It's terrible. No one likes Major League Soccer. Sorry, Glenn. Major League Soccer sucks. That's why the Dynamo stadiums are as empty as the Roughneck stadiums, okay? Oh, anyway. End rant. F Apple TV. I hope you all get fired. And that your families are destitute because of this. Because you inconvenienced me for 20 minutes while I was at 24-hour fitness.
The Audis and the Innies. Get fired.
Yeah.
At Apple TV Plus. That's a Severance joke.
Oh, okay. I don't get it. I don't get it. Just give me a torpedo bat and I will go to those headquarters and I will vandalize it. I will do. You think what's happening to Tesla's bad? Oh, Apple TV, watch out! I'll kill you.
Oh, okay.
Just kidding.
Paul is not making terroristic threats.
I'll kill your property.
Apple.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. I mean, you could do it to a Tesla. Why can't I do it to Apple TV?
Well, because it's terrorism.
Oh, okay. Well,
it is a private company, so some would argue that it's not actual terrorism, but whatever.
The Paul Gallant Show rejects terrorism, unless it's against Apple TV. Just kidding.
In all forms.
I reject it in all forms, yes.
Except Apple TV.
Anyway, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5.
Watch out, Tim Cook.
92.5.
Satire.
Stay put.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.